Beijing, writes our bureau chief Ann Scott Tyson today, is taking advantage of uncertainty generated by the Trump administration to pitch itself as the more dependable, capable global superpower. China is not just seeking to supplant America, but to reshape the international order. Its allies in that effort? Russia, India, and North Korea. Back in the U.S., meanwhile, President Donald Trump is calling for a new order in American cities, citing high crime rates. We look at what the continued deployment of National Guard troops in D.C. means for democracy and domestic law enforcement. It's Thursday, September 4th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Krista Case Bryant. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Florida will move to eliminate all child vaccine mandates, expanding Republican Governor Ron DeSantis' efforts to curb requirements dating back to the COVID-19 pandemic. Some officials have said current vaccine mandates infringe on parental rights, while critics called the move dangerous. Separately, the Democratic governors of Washington, Oregon, and California announced an alliance to safeguard health policies. Iran expanded its uranium stockpile to near weapons-grade levels before Israel's attack in June, according to a confidential UN nuclear watchdog report. As of June 13th, Iran held 972 pounds of uranium enriched up to 60%, up 71 pounds since May. The report added that Iran and the International Atomic Energy Agency have not reached an agreement on resuming inspections at sites bombed in June. Meanwhile, satellite images show intensifying construction at a facility key to Israel's long-suspected atomic weapons program. Also, Newsmax filed an antitrust lawsuit against Fox News, accusing the rival network of using intimidation and exclusionary tactics to stifle competition. The suit alleges Fox blocked distributors from carrying Newsmax, discouraged guests from appearing, and hired private investigators to probe executives. Fox rejected the claims, saying Newsmax is trying to sue their way out of their own competitive failures. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. Vladimir Putin and other world leaders alienated by the West gathered in China this week, first for an economic summit in Tianjin and then a military parade in Beijing. The meetings offer a glimpse of what Chinese leader Xi Jinping's new world order might look like. Ann Scott Tyson reports for The Monitor. Americans have long rejected the idea of armed troops patrolling city streets, absent a security crisis. But President Donald Trump's talent for normalizing such dramatic actions can earn support, or at least blunt the opposition. Scott Baldoff reports from Washington for The Monitor. President Donald Trump wants the Pentagon to create a quick reaction force using National Guard units. But U.S. law bars the military from being used as domestic law enforcement. With few details in the executive order, it's unclear how such a unit would navigate legal and political concerns. Anna Maureen Grobe reports for The Monitor. Human traffickers prey on desperate women in the vast, vulnerable Sundarbans region. The co-founder of a grassroots organization is fighting for women to reclaim their legal power. Contributors Safina Nabi and Kanika Gupta report from Bashirhat, India, for The Monitor. The gold rush may be long over, but the work of extracting valuable minerals from stream deposits, modern panning for gold, still goes on in Canada's Yukon. Today, it's a family business passed down from generation to generation. Sarah Miller-Yana reports from Dawson City, Yukon, for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on what home means to Syria's returnees. Until last year, a country at the heart of the Middle East was known for enduring one of the world's largest population displacements. About half of Syria's 23 million were forced to flee their homes during a 14-year civil war. Since the ouster of a dictator 9 months ago, however, more than 2 million citizens have returned. Most go back to pick up old lives and recreate a democratic country. When we were expelled, it felt as if our souls had been torn from our bodies, Mamdou al-Satouf, a former school principal, told Al Jazeera. Now that we have returned, it feels as if we have regained our souls. The rising pace in the number of Syrian returnees is due in part to a new government's efforts to hold elections this month, revive the economy with foreign help, and restore Syria's former social harmony between diverse ethnic and religious groups. Most people will want to participate in the new Syria, provided the government respects their regional and local requests, Birgit Schäbler, a historian of the region at Germany's University of Erfurt, told Deutsche Welle. In a recent visit to the country, a top United Nations official for refugees found many returnees were busy replanting family and community roots. I saw up close how people have preserved their will to return, stay, and rebuild despite the harsh reality of destruction, said Kelly Clements, Deputy High Commissioner of UNHCR. Parts of Syria have recently seen extreme violence between groups, highlighting the ongoing task of the interim president, Ahmed al-Sharaa, to build trust with all Syrians. A parliamentary election scheduled for September 15th through September 20th will be a crucial test, along with his efforts to bring justice for past atrocities and reconcile a torn society. The president's task has been made easier given the almost daily convoys of vehicles bringing Syrians back to their hometowns. To many people in the Mideast, home is not just a place, but a religious obligation of hospitality, a generosity of spirit which defines humanity itself, states Mona Siddiqui, professor of Islamic and interreligious studies at the University of Edinburgh. Or, as one returnee, Mustafa Al-Haj, told Le Monde as he crossed the border from Lebanon, "It's the first time I've entered my country with love in my heart." The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how recognizing everyone's true nature as God's spiritual offspring is a powerful starting point for progress. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Tim Malone and Mackenzie Farkas.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2025.